May I speak in the name of the living God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Today is the day we celebrate the feast day of Hugh of Lincoln, who's often considered to be an English saint, though he was born in Avalon in Burgundy in 1140. He made his profession with the Augustinian canons, but by his mid-20s, he had become a monk at Grande Chartreuse. Henry II invited him in about 1175 to become prior of the Charterhouse Foundation at Witham in Somerset, which was badly in need of reform. In 1186, Hugh was persuaded, I like that word, persuaded to accept the See of Lincoln, which was at that time the largest diocese in the land. And he brought great energy to this role, and he brought efficiency and stability to the church. He had a compassionate ministry to those who needed support and care, and he was not afraid, on occasion, to hold out against any royal measures he felt to be unreasonable. So Hugh was faithful to his vows and to his Lord throughout his life. Daniel was a senior official in the court of Darius, and he found favor with the king, who planned to appoint him over the whole kingdom. Jealousy raised its ugly head, and the other officials wanted to find a way to bring Daniel down. And eventually they used his faithfulness against him. Daniel was faithful to God and prayed 3 times a day. And he continued to do this even after a ruling was made that people should only worship the king himself. Daniel's faithfulness nearly cost him his life in the lion's den. But in the end, his accusers lost their lives, while Daniel prospered and God was honored by all. So we recognize Daniel's faithfulness today. The common worship invitation to confession on saints' days begins, "The saints were faithful unto death, and now dwell in the heavenly kingdom forever." And the short preface to the Eucharistic prayer says of the saints, "In their lives you have given us an example of faithfulness to Christ. In their holiness, we find encouragement and hope. In our communion with them, we share the unity of your kingdom." Faithfulness is a mark of God's saints. And it seems, too, that there is a real link between living faithfully and sharing in Christ's kingdom. Matthew saw the kingdom of heaven as central to his theological message. The expression, the kingdom of heaven, had been in religious use for many years. So Matthew used kingdom language to people who were familiar with the term. And he used kingdom language more than any other New Testament author. The kingdom of God and kingdom of heaven for him meant God's reign. The reading from Matthew tonight is all about the kingdom, but our familiarity with the parable may weaken its impact on us. Chapter 13 of Matthew's Gospel contains a number of parables, and these are intended to disclose new truth, and they generate new meaning in new situations. So they are dynamic and not limited to making one point. The section we heard tonight explains what is necessary for us if we hope to be included in the kingdom of heaven. But immediately prior to the section we heard comes the parable of the sower, which challenges us to discern whether we have failed in our response to the gospel message. The parable of the wheat and weeds challenges us on how we respond to the presence of evil in our society. Why were there weeds growing alongside the wheat? Were they planted deliberately by some force of evil? Matthew was concerned that followers of Christ might be enticed away from their faith by evil and wanted them to grow ever more Christ-like, not just as individuals, but also as the body of Christ. This concern raises a number of issues about how we, as a church community, deal with evil. For example, should we throw someone out of the church who does evil things? Or should we retain them, hoping they will repent and ask forgiveness? Or should we leave all judgment to God? St. Augustine commented on this parable. There is this difference between people and real grain and real weeds. For grain is grain and weed are weeds, but in the Lord's field, at times, what was grain turns into weeds, and what were weeds turn into grain. And no one knows what they will be tomorrow. What Augustine meant was that people have the ability to change and grow in the fertile soil of the church. People we thought were weeds can now be seen as having value and being useful for the kingdom of God, if we aren't too quick to judge. God created all plants, all people, and declared them very good. So it's not our job to segregate and judge who is wheat and who are weeds. Our job is to nourish both, to allow both to grow to fruition, and to look for the good in all. How God will judge is for him to decide, and what happens to the weeds is his issue, not ours. So our work is to spread the seed of God's message and nurture its growth in the lives of people. We should first do all that we can to be good advertisements for the gospel of Christ by the way we live our lives. Second, we should take every opportunity to speak up for Christ and his gospel and invite others to be his followers. And we should do this faithfully. Thirdly, we should seize every opportunity to do good in the world in the name of Christ. We do all this faithfully in the power of the Spirit, and we must leave the results in the hands of God, who will bring the seeds to harvest in his own good time. Amen.
Hymn 534.
Establish, strengthen, and settle you in the faith. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always. Amen.